Well, he did. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jared?
He did something, and then I heard a blank, so I don't know if he's going to pop back in here.
Oh, Don knows you called him, though, right?
Yeah, I was on the line. He was doing a countdown.
Can you guys hear me? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'm here. Guys, you're on the air. Yeah, when I gave you the countdown, you just heard yourself back on the air.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, well, I'm going to do my normal introduction here. And just for the people that are listening on BBS, we've been doing a conference call every Monday for about 14 months, and we've had people calling in from all over the country. And I started this conference call because I had these voices talking to me through some personal relationships that said they were the creator god of this realm. And I didn't believe it at first, and I'm not sure I believe it now, to tell you the truth. But I figured there were a lot of phenomena, a lot of amazing circumstances that were going on. And I said, how could I share this with other people? And I said, what do you think if I do a conference call? And would you guys be on the line? And they said they would. And so we've been doing this now for quite some time. And there's been a number of amazing things that have happened for people that have tuned into the line, and we have a format where we read a channeling or play a channeling, or we've done a live channeling, and then we call in the light. And basically, this is a manifestation of what you might call the law of one. And that is that even though we experience ourselves as separate entities in the physical universe, each of us has a part of ourself in the invisible universe, or higher dimensions, or time-space, or whatever you want to call it, that's not in a body. It's an energy. And our energies are not fixed. They're mutable. They change all the time. Every time we walk into a room, we're picking up the energies. Our energies are merging with the energies of those people in the room. And we are in a constant state of flow on the energy level. And on some way, all our energies at some point combine into oneness. Now, we don't usually experience that. Maybe we never experience it. But we experience glimpses of it. We experience glimpses of it when we walk into a room and feel the vibration of the room. We are picking up the energy of that room. We're becoming one with it. So this conference call is really an exercise in oneness. Those people that have been checking into the call have tuned into the energy of it, and they feel most of them feel something. And during the course of the call, there's a lot of shifting and changing of energies. And by the end of the call, for many people, there's an upliftment, and there's a shift that carries on into their regular lives. And so it's my pleasure and service to be able to offer this to all those that would resonate with it. And those of you that are listening for the first time might not try to make up your mind quickly as to what's going on. Just relax. Go with the flow. I'm going to mute everybody. Relax and go with the flow and see what happens to your own energy during the course of the call. If you are listening and you're skeptical, try not to be skeptical. Try to be neutral. Try to just be open. There's nothing that we're trying to prove or claim except that there's a lot of indication that there are energies beyond the veil that are positive that want to help this planet. And we are attempting to create an anchor point for those energies. And one of those energies has identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And for those of you that are not familiar with my story, I urge you to go to my website, or our website, higher-vision.org, and read the various links. It tells more about the call. It has many of the channelings we've posted. It has also the story that happened to me starting in April of 2002, and a link also to my book website, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is probably writing that book started putting me under observation, although I didn't know it, by all these interdimensional sources. So the format of this call is we share some channelings that I have been personally involved in, or I know the people who do the channeling very well, that I believe are positive. And, of course, anyone is free to use, they should use their own scrutiny and decide, you know, if it resonates with them. And I thought what I would do today is, let me see here. We had a very interesting workshop in, what city was it now? It was in Santa Barbara yesterday. And we've been doing these workshops up and down California. In fact, some of you on the line have met me originally at one of these workshops. It's called the Holistic Living Expo. It's produced by Dean Price. And we made our original connection at the expo. And usually I give a talk, and at the end of the day, I give a workshop. And so at the workshop, Terry actually did a channeling, which was the very first time she did that. And Terry is my friend for many years, that is one of those people that has had this voice come through them that identified themselves as the Elohim. And again, I'm not going to tell the whole story here. The people on the line have heard it many times. In fact, those of you that have heard me on the Don Wynn Show have heard it many times. But I'm going to play it because it sets a tone of energy. And through her to speak to other people. And she's come to that point. And we have created this protective shield just in our own energies that keep that protection going. This is why in doing this, one has to be so cautious to learn how to build their energy field so that it really, you hold the space, because wherever you get weak, you have an opening, okay? And I'm just going to fast forward through that.
Love you. I love.
Do we have a source that's positive that would like to address us tonight?
Yes. We greet you now in the love light of the one infinite creator. We surround each and every one of you with our love light, and we will be there for you to draw on. Sense the love light around you. feel the frequencies. This love light, which is us projecting around you, will be available to you for sustenance, assistance, and protection. In the times that are coming, and even in the times that are here now, as you ask, so you receive. When you have a need for the highest good, do not be afraid to ask, and we will work with you. We will be there for you. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We love you more than you can possibly imagine. If you feel in any corner of your mind that you are not worthy of love, this is false, because you are very worthy of love, no matter what. And we love you and are there for you. We leave you now with a prayer that the golden love light will come to your world as more and more people like you are open to bring it in. Adonai, we bid you good day. We leave, but we do not leave you.
Okay. That was live yesterday. And I hear some people checking into the line. Just a moment. Let me unmute you. We have some people that checked in that haven't identified themselves.
Yeah, this is Conrad in L.A.
Hi, Conrad.
I guess I missed the reading. Darn it.
Oh, well.
I caught the prayer, though.
All right. Conrad, we're on the air. Live around the world, so we're streaming our audio on BBS radio.
Cool.
Anyone else there that came in? Okay. Many times I've talked about this in terms of being an experimental program. And I say experimental because when you have a voice that talks to you through someone else, how do you know who they are? How do you know they are who they say they are? How do you know they're positive? How do you know there's benefit? So it's one of those things that you can pay attention and use your own discernment over time to make a decision. Not to believe something blindly because I say it or I think it's true or anyone else thinks it's true. If something is true, then on some level there has to be some kind of validation that each person has to make personally. So as part of our what I call experimental programs, we did a session over a couple of weekends where we had about 25 people on the line formulating questions, which we then got answers for in the middle of the week and played them back the following week. And I'm going to read some of those questions and answers, and many of them might apply to you. And this was channeled by the same person who just did that invocation right then. It was Terry, who's actually on the line right now. Now, let me see. I'm opening up my computer. And let's see. We're going to answer about six of the questions, or share with you six of the questions that were asked in a workshop that was held on February 22nd. Question. How can I get... Oh, you know what? I knew it. We'd be on BBS radio, and my computer just shut down, which is now opening up. So I'm going to have to ad-lib. The question was, how do I get beyond my mind? And we're going to have to wait until my computer opens up till I give you the answer. A little bit about my own background. I am, I guess 7 or 8 years ago, I considered myself a songwriter, a poet, a metaphysical journalist, and then I began to discover the website of David Wilcock and became the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And as I was writing the book, I suddenly had an experience where two personal relationships suddenly started to channel and communicate to me. And the voice identified itself by the name the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim on the internet and said things like the God of the Old Testament, the creator God of this realm. And I asked them, are you the same Elohim? And they said they were. Now, I didn't really believe it, but I was recording the conversations, and I said over time that I would make my decision as to the veracity or the believability of this source. So, during that period of time, which was about 6 months, I asked questions like, can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they did. They correctly predicted a newspaper headline and said the weekend that it would happen. Another instance, my sister, who has lupus, I asked them if they could help, and they told me in a few months my sister was going to face a decision where she was going to have to choose whether to live or to die. And a few months later, her husband called me and said she was going to the hospital, and they didn't think she would make it. And I asked the question to this voice, and I said, can you help? And they said they would. My sister had cancer, and she had a very serious operation. So she survived the operation, and I was actually thinking that this was coincidence until a few weeks later she had to go for tests to see if the cancer had come back, and the tests indicated there was no cancer, but the nurse said there was a mistake because there was also no lupus. And so I had a miracle on my hands. And that was somewhat convincing that there was the Elohim intervening in this whole process. I've told this story many times, so those of you that have heard it many times excuse me for putting you through it again, but I'm trying to turn my computer on and get back to the questions and answers that we started. And let me see here. Just a moment. We are getting close. Here we are live on BBS. And my computer breaks down in the middle of our conference call. So just one moment, and I'm going to open up this file. So in any case, as I was saying, my sister had a miracle. Then I asked many, many, many questions. I asked questions about how the universe works, did they create it, how does prayer work. In fact, those of you that are interested, I have a free booklet called Questions and Answers with the Elohim that you're welcome to request. win@higher-vision.org, and I'll send it to you. My computer is almost open. Okay. Hopefully that won't happen again. Question: how can I get beyond intellectual feelings and ideas? Open the heart. How do you open the heart? There's a heart chakra, and it tends to shut down for a number of reasons. The intellect comes in and takes over. And this is one of the reasons for the shutting down of the heart chakra. The intellect wishes to express itself, and it feels excluded, so it wishes to shine and dance. The intellect and heart chakra, the intellect and the mind, and the heart are tied in, so that if the intellect and the mind can feel the love of the heart, how do you get there? How do you do that? First, you accept the intellect. You love the intellect. You let the intellect know that it doesn't have to perform miracles to be loved. It is an exercise one can perform, loving the intellect, loving the mind. The mind and the intellect feel excluded and wish to shine. And if you let them know that they are loved, then this will bleed down into the heart chakra and help open the heart. That is an exercise one can perform. Love the intellect and love the mind. This is the first step, and an exercise you may work with. This is an exercise that you can do. It may seem hard at first or awkward. This is a start. It is not the final answer, but it is a start. And this is the preliminary answer to your first question, which is, how can I get beyond intellect, feelings, and ideas? You may not judge them. You may love them, even though they may seem objectionable. Like feelings might seem objectionable. Just accept that it's there. Don't fight against it, because when you fight against it, it then stays. It gives it royalty status. It gives it status in the creation of all that is. So if you just accept it, then you'll allow it to pass. Question 2. Am I on the right path to accomplish things? The things I need to accomplish. Can you make comments on my present path? Elohim. You are doing much that is effective, much that is commendable, and you need to compliment yourself on your work and on your path. It may not seem that you are striving or succeeding nearly as much as you wish. Everything is part of a whole, and feelings that you would feel that are not amenable to your path are there for a reason. And you may just acknowledge them, and they are lessons. They are impediments. But you may acknowledge them. Some of them are from your past, some of them from present situations. In the making of life, there are conflicts and rubs that are there for a reason, or different paths conflict. Accept it, just look at it, try to gain a sense of humor about it, catalog it, mark it. It is there for a lesson from the past, something to learn, a marker, an opportunity to learn. Do not judge it, no matter what it is. We love you and applaud your work and your work with us. Just to remind you, these are questions and answers from a workshop where a number of people were given 2 questions to ask the Elohim, and these are the answers to the questions. Question. Could the Elohim please discuss the current practice of Egyptian biogeometry as presented by Ibrahim Karim, and are these methods too subtle to transmute the overwhelmingly negative environmental influences that permeate our lives today? Also, are these practices just a focusing mechanism for our psyche to accomplish something? Can I get the same result with thought and intent only? Or is the use of physical geometric structures necessary for transmutations? Elohim. The warp and woof of the universe is the basis of, and the basis of all operation is geometrics, and the relationships between intentions and the formation of geometrical lines of intention. We applaud your question. Your question is getting down to basics of how things operate. The basis of all intentions and its configurations are what comprises all that is. We applaud the work that Ibrahim has done as he is coming into an approximation of systems that do work. You ask if the use of these systems would be able to overcome the negative, since the negative is so broad on the planet at this time. The negative is indeed composed of these forces, and for them to be changed, one could work with them. You ask concerning if willpower and or your intentions would be as good in achieving results. The closer one can approximate the makeup of the intention of things in the geometric biostructures, the closer one will be able to change and transmute them. Therefore, a force would be more effective that could closely approximate these geometric biostructures. In working in the conference call, we are bathing the world in light and love and intentions, which can also change the biostructures. The individual elements involved can, if they foresee the love light, they will have an opportunity to change. When you project intentions with your mind and your will, this can also change the elements. the negative elements which you would wish to change will not change unless they perceive the need for change from their own perspective. Presenting them with an environment of love can mechanically change them for a time until they are set back to the negativity. Changing the biostructures at a fundamental level with love can change things on a more basic level. Question. Sungathing and breatharianism to overcome the necessity for a physical food, the necessity for things like physical food to sustain us. Have the energies on the planet shifted enough for regular folks like us to be able to attempt those types of practices? Elohim. One can always attempt the practices of sun gazing and breatharianism. Until one knows the techniques involved, then one probably won't be successful, but it is easier now at this time for an ordinary person to achieve it, assuming that he has the techniques and the knowledge and the exercise to do this practice. Question. W and three of our children and I attended Dolphin School, where we received six attunements from the dolphin consciousness. Please tell us, what is the purpose and effect of these attunements and of the dolphin life skills that we were taught in the context of the pending dimensional shift? Elohim. The dolphins have a delightful consciousness and are able to communicate using various tones. They are very intelligent beings. The attunements that you have learned will help you as you move into higher dimensions. As the higher dimensions use more of the skills that the dolphins use in everyday life. There is a frequency crystal that has been used for the absorption of negativity. It is able to absorb negativity and to maintain a high-level frequency of love light with the ability to connect with the environment. It deals with the negativity as if it was garbage to be transmuted and disposed. This is our first attunement. The second attunement is the ability to play, to frolic, and to love, and to not take things so seriously. This always helps with the adaptation of the environment. The third attunement is the ability to maintain family skills and to protect the family and to care for the children and to include them in your biosphere. The fourth attunement is the openness to other species, to coordinate with species not one's own, which will help in the higher dimensions. The fifth attunement is the spiritual integrity as a solid harmony and knowledge that one is part of all that is, including the Creator, and is loved. The knowledge of being loved and worthy is something that the human race is lacking and has been implanted to eliminate from their calculations. It is a false implant and simply not true. The sixth attunement, and these are not in order of importance, is of oneself and one's worthiness, and the beginning of the walk upon which all other relationships can branch out into. As Terry gives her greeting, and we give our greeting, and we are part of the dolphins, their heart is part of all that is, they have become a significant, beautiful, and forgotten element in your world. Question. I'm in the process of creating vortexes in my home. Is it accurate for me to believe they are a portal for people to the higher realms? And if so, explain their purpose and function in more detail. Elohim, answer. You have indeed created vortexes in your home. The vortexes need to be treated with respect and honor, and to be cleansed in that they may trap extraneous energies. When one sits in the presence of the vortexes, one must maintain vigilance that the energies are still pure and to call in the light to purify your vortexes. Oftentimes, extraneous entities and energies become trapped in these vortexes to affect them and disrupt their use. The vortexes may be used by you for the purpose of bringing through the higher energies and love and light. Be vigilant that you are keeping them clear. You may use these vortexes to contact higher forces. Ask that the Elohim or Ra or other high forces sanctify your meditation area, and this will be an effective purpose towards a spiritual goal. Next question. What can I do to encourage my family, my brothers and sisters, to follow their spiritual path? Your brothers and sisters are at different points in their spiritual journey, and their travels within, there goes my computer. We got too much energy on this line, and I'm blowing out my computer. Hang on just a moment. I think what I need to do is revert next week to a circumstance where we can, I print those things out, because the force is not holding the energy. Just a moment. This evening, to do this. So let me switch and go to one of the original channelings of the Elohim that was done in 2002 that related to how they operate in this realm. And then we'll go into a calling in of the light. Sorry for that being so abrupt, but it is what it is. And this was in 2002 when I actually made the first question to the Elohim about who they were. When? In researching the Elohim, they were described as one of the creator gods of the solar system. Are we talking to the same Elohim? We are a division of what you would say. When? So when the one infinite creator originally broke off and started creating this universe, where did the Elohim enter? Eto Corina. When? That's the location in the universe? Yes. When? And in Earth years, how many years ago? 78 billion years ago. And at what point did the Elohim participate in this solar system 4 million years ago. And what was the incentive to start that interaction in this solar system? To protect the fledgling humanoid species. When? That was 4 million years ago? Yes. On this planet? Yes. Was that the first instance of human on this planet that we are aware of? Was that human population bred here or brought from another world? The combination of both. They were both brought and bred. Where were they brought from? We see many from the star Sirius. Does the evolution of this planet impact the Elohim in a positive way? In other words, if there's more beings who graduate in this dimensional shift, is there a positive result which the Elohim experiences from that? Of course, the Elohim wishes the highest good for its spiritual children. There is not a direct connection in that human evolution does not directly affect the Elohim. It is an indirect connection. Why is it that you are available to us to answer these questions? We have always been available to those who would seek us. When? So anyone anywhere who is sincerely seeking could find a way to connect with this kind of communication? If that is the intent of the recipient, our frequencies, our information, our beingness is present for those who can properly receive it. When? Now, the instrument who is receiving right now, would someone have to have the same kind of connection to the higher energies as her to receive these messages? It is what you would deem helpful. It facilitates the process of awareness. However, it can be accessed by many of sincere intent in a profoundly reflective and meditative state. When? How could someone who doesn't have the ability of this kind of channel connect with the support of your counsel? Elohim, by going deeply within the self for the answers that you seek, available universally to all. When? Why is it on this level people cannot connect with or experience often their connection with the divine source? Elohim, because there are veils in place in this level and continue to be until you reach fifth and sixth density, you have chosen this as part of your evolutionary makeup, part of the design. If someone is living, this is asking a question again, if someone is living within their veils, what can they do to penetrate through their veils? What kind of exercise, if they have decided that this is something they would like to lift above? Elohim, first there must be intention. Then there must be persistence. Then there must be vision of that which could be beyond the veil. These combined provide the backdrop for further dissolution of the mental structures holding in a person. When? As part of the process, when a person makes this intention, does your counsel monitor and notice this, even though they haven't penetrated the veil directly? Elohim, the counsel notices and guides as much as is able those entities willing to perceive us on what you would term the other side. When? Many entities might be highly skeptical that such a council could be actually paying attention to these things on such an individual level with so many billions of people on this planet. Could you describe a little bit how that process works? How does that noticing take place? We see you as energy systems, as energy circuits. When there are particularly bright spots, we know to pay attention to these. The bright spots are indicative that a person in your density has tapped into the greater collective field and is thus accessing consciously the required information to further free themselves from the confines of the third density. In this manner, we are able to pay attention to those among billions who are able to make the initial sojourn into the greater developmental entities awaiting higher galactic conscious connection. What is it like to be you, and what is your relationship to love and light? This is an interesting question. We do not experience physical bodies such as you would deem them on your earth plane. We are an amalgamation of light intensities in these frequencies. Our lives are centered around a central purpose or focus. We experience the collective as a oneness. We build using frequency of light harmonics, sacred geometry forms, such as would appear in your inner eye. We are not limited by those things which you would term earth limitations. We are not afraid of death. We do not take birth in the physical form. Our lifespan would number many thousands of years of your lifespan. We pass consciously from one density to another. We perceive holographically. We do not experience fear as you do. Does this answer your question? Yes. But how does time appear to you in relationship to us? Do we seem much slower in thought or beingness? Much more localized. We exist outside what you would call time as a linear construct. Therefore, we have the option of jumping around in and out of it as you would jump in and out of a swimming pool. We bid you adieu for this session. It is in blessings and service that we give this time and information to you. That was one of the original channelings in approximately June, July of 2002. We're going to call in the light right now. I apologize for the dysfunctions in this call as my computer was going out. And thank you for dealing with it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken into the higher realms and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the Hunabku, through our solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. We join right now and extend to each other our spirits, those who free willingly choose to participate And we create a group energy amongst all of those on this line and all those who are listening on BBS. This group energy extending across our United States. And this energy, we now invite those sources operating from the higher realms to blend with our energies. And we feel those energies, and we surround our planet with that light energy. And on this moment, we're going to go through our normal routine, and I'm going to unlock the conference call line. And ask each of you to make your contribution to this light. Rachel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dylan. Put myself in the light. My husband, Daryl, in the light. Our friend, Scotty, in the light. Uncle Felix. My cousin, Jamie. In my town, Welland. Water.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen?
Yes, I put my friends and my family in the light, and the Middle East, and the leaders of our country.
Thank you. Marielle?
I would like to put Kathy and Devin in the light, and I would like to put the Earth and our Sun in the love and light.
Thank you. Robert?
Yes, thank you very much. The Carol Ann in the light, and baby Shane, and Anne in the love and the light, and everyone on the line. Thank you.
Okay, Karen in Tucson?
I'm sorry, that was me. Answer earlier.
Okay. Gary in San Diego?
Yeah, I'd like to send love and light to my family, also to our president, and the rulers over the Middle East.
Thank you. Mary Ann?
Yes, I'd like to put my home in and everyone on the line. Thanks.
Okay. And Ruth?
I'd like to put all the service animals in the light.
Okay. And Kathy in Sacramento?
Yes, I'd like to send light and love for the highest good of all concerned, Betty Lou, Ernie, their precious dog, Maggie, and their precious daughter, Marielle. Thank you.
Okay. And Gino.
I'd like to put the Dominguez family in the light and also all the people held against their will for the highest good of all concerned.
Claudia?
Yes, I would like to put my brother, Tony, and my sister, Adriana, for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you.
Thank you. Kendra?
I'd like to put my cousin Jacob in the light and my friend AJ, please.
And Wesley?
I'd like to put Audrey and Ralph in the light. And I'd like to put Tom in the light.
And Diane?
I'd like to put my family in the light. Leah, Tawny, and Grace. Barbie and Nava, and Wynn, Daphne, and Terry.
Thank you. And Barbara?
I think I'd like to put just my community that I live in the light.
Thank you. I'm just going to take a break in this, and if there's people that are listening to us on the internet stream, I'd like to invite you to just think for a moment those circumstances and people that you would like to put in the light, and this is kind of prayer for the highest good of all concerned, and we'll just take a moment and let you do that. Brian? Anna?
Yes, I'd like to put my friend Lisa, who's in the hospital in San Francisco, in the light, and I'd like to put dolphins in the light.
Jackie?
Yes, I'd like to put my father, John, in the light, our planet, the sun, and all those who are listening tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And Therese?
Well, I'd like to put all of us in the light.
And Terry? Thank you.
I'd like to put any troubled spot in the light.
Okay, and Suzanne?
For the highest good of all, I'd like to ask for all the people on the earth to release old karmic patterns and that those be lifted off of them. Also, that our higher selves can connect to all the higher selves out there in the earth and they can find their way to the messages that will help them wake up and join all the light workers on the planet to uplift the planet. Thank you.
Thank you. And Richard? Are you there, Richard? Okay. Wayne?
Yes, I'd like to put Mother Earth in the light. I'd like to put the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and all those online with us tonight. Thank you.
And
okay. Sorry, guys. I have to break in here. We got about 15 seconds.
We're just about finished. Thank you. Jeff and Conrad... We'll do this after we disconnect from BBS. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be on next week, probably, at the same time. And on that note, Jeff?
Yeah, hi. I'd like to put my family, friends...